Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. South Africa's national rugby team, nicknamed the Springboks, is getting a lot of attention this week as it aims for a third world title in Japan. The South Africans will face England on Saturday, November 2nd, in the Rugby World Cup final in Yokohama. It's a rematch of the 2007 Rugby World Cup final in France, where the Springboks prevailed 15-6 to capture their second world championship. In addition to being home to one of the world's premier rugby teams, South Africa also organizes Africa's only national league of wheelchair rugby. But while wheelchair rugby is an amateur sport with limited resources, there is no shortage of dedication and determination. Mariza de Klerk reports from South Africa's capital, Pretoria.
The finals of the South African Wheelchair Rugby League means the country's best players literally get to crash things out on the court. As a boy, Oki Anker of Pretoria dreamt of becoming part of South Africa's top rugby team, the Springboks. But he broke his neck during a high school match in 2011. Now he considers himself honored to have played twice for the Wheelboks, South Africa's national wheelchair rugby team, and to have faced off rugby's famous pre-game challenge ritual.
From the first day, I was just loving the game, and the contact and the adrenaline that pumping is almost the same as normal rugby. We faced the Haka two times in 2013 and three times in 2015. It was a great experience to still face the Haka and sing the national anthem.
She's lifting the ball. Can we have
one, two, three. Lerato Nichani is not only taking the lead during warm-up, she became Africa's first female wheelchair rugby player 12 years ago. After taking some time off, she's back playing with the Mustangs of Bloemfontein in the Free State province and encouraging the next generation of players.
With the limited resource that we have, we are trying. And I believe that the Lord is going to take us through to where we need to go. Because now, whatever we do, especially as a team, we are not doing it only for ourselves.
Playing wheelchair rugby is pricey. An imported specialized high-performance wheelchair alone costs just over $8,000. But former Wheelbok and Mustang player Jared McIntyre developed a beginner's wheelchair that costs about one-fifth the price of imported ones.
If we have the means to, as I mentioned, in South Africa, create awareness amongst the sport with cost-effective chairs, we can just as well do it in other countries, and one of these days have more African countries competing each other against each other.
South Africa's wheelchair rugby team hasn't competed internationally since 2015 because it's been simply too expensive. South Africa Wheelchair Rugby Vice President David Jacobs says despite the cost, they are working to develop the sport across Africa.
With our affiliation to South African Rugby Union and the other rugby unions in South Africa, we're now slowly starting to create further awareness. And once that awareness has got a good foundation, we're then looking at rolling that out into the rest of Africa.
After plenty of sweat, the Mustangs lifted the trophy for the fourth time running in this year's South African Wheelchair Rugby League. Finances permitting, South Africa Wheelchair Rugby hopes to compete internationally again next year. Mariza de Klerk, For VOA News, Pretoria, South Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This evening, we celebrate the 45th anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle, the classic clash in Kinshasa between Muhammad Ali and then world heavyweight champion George Foreman. The fight on October 30th, 1974 has been described as one of the greatest sporting events of the 20th century. Foreman entered the ring undefeated with 40 consecutive victories. And at 25, he was younger and stronger than the 32-year-old Ali. But Ali told his Hall of Fame trainer, the late, great Angelo Dundee, that he had a secret plan for Foreman. He would lean on the ropes and cover up, letting Big George punch him in the arms and body and sap Foreman's energy with what came to be known as Ali's rope-a-dope strategy. And Ali's plan worked. Foreman got tired, and Ali knocked him out with 2 seconds remaining in the eighth round. Angelo Dundee was in Muhammad Ali's corner 45 years ago in Kinshasa. Over the years, old Angelo delighted our Voice of America listeners with funny verbal jabs before he died in 2012 at the age of 90. Let's listen in again to Angelo as I ask him about the Rumble in the Jungle.
You know, it's such an event. You know, you get there and we're the good guys, you know, right there, Ali Boumaye. And he was like a hero there. And the Zaire people are so goddamn nice. It's a shame, you know, the country's having their problems. And everybody I met there was so congenial and nice, and the fun part of it was a guy named Chimpupu Chimpupu Wa Chimpupa. He was the PR guy.
Okay.
And he'd make us go. See, we were outside of Kinshasa. We were like 45 minutes away in the government complex called Nasseli. That's where they entertain all the African nations. And we all had villas facing the Congo River. And God forbid we said Congo River. It was supposed to get called the Zaire River. And we used to look forward to going to the gym every day. In fact, on my off duties, I used to train lizards. It made a good hit with the newspaper guys. When they came, it was a rainy day. We didn't go to the gym. And these lizards, these big lizards, we walking across like the banisters.
Right.
And I said, wait a minute. Let me tell you what I did. And I said, see that lizard? I trained that sucker. Now watch. He's going to go 5 steps and do push-ups. No matter where you go, you got to have a sense of humor.
Angelo, did Foreman train close to Muhammad, or were they...
He trained right across the way from us, and we used to spy on him. I used to borrow Howard Bingham's telescopic lens and watch him from behind the hiding spots. We're like little kids, you know. He goes, you don't see nothing in the gym. There's nothing to check, you know. But we had fun, so... This is the whole key, you know. People don't realize to excel at what you do, you got to have fun with it. And we always had fun with Muhammad every day. Every day, 19 years, I had fun, you know. So what the hell? This is what it's all about.
Angelo, was the weather a factor in that fight, the heat in the former Zaire?
You got to remember, we trained in Florida, Miami. Muhammad loves the heat. In fact, to this day, Muhammad calls me, he threatens me, he's going to come down and sweat. I says, please do.
Do you think the heat bothered Big George more than it did Muhammad?
Well, no. I just think it was meant to be, you know, this is what happens in boxing. Isn't that a horrible career to have, you know, if somebody out there can lick you? Isn't that tough? I mean, you're a great fighter, and there's somebody out there might do a number on you. The only guy that didn't taste that was Rocky Marciano, God bless him, because he retired undefeated. And another kid from Thailand retired undefeated.
Angelo, looking back on the Rumble in the Jungle, would that fight have happened without the electric-haired man, Don King?
No, No, he was in the right place at the right time. Had the connections, the complexions to give us the right direction. That's what Muhammad used to say about me. Angela got the connections and the directions to give you the right direction. That's right. So we applied it the other way. No, it was meant to be. Don King's a hell of a promoter. He went there and they wanted to name their country a new name, you know, get rid of that Belgian Congo thing, and then name their country Zaire. And Mobutu's a very, very, you know, that Zaire's a big country. And I think it's bigger than the United States. Yeah, big. And this guy ran it. He was a remarkable guy. He used to go all his provinces by helicopter. He was a hell of a man.
Angela, where does the rumble in the jungle rate in the Muhammad Ali legacy?
Well, it's got to be one of the greatest happenings, the changing of a name, government. Well, Muhammad, you know, was a happening any place we ever went. You know, I get letters 10 a week maybe, you know, letting us want pictures and stuff like that. It's remarkable, you know, because here I was with a guy who was a living legend. And in his career now, I'm his fistic voice because the guy can't talk. And I know it breaks his heart. He loved to talk. He loved it because he loved talking to the media. He enjoyed that. And I pride myself with that. I pushed him towards that because if you want to be a superstar, these guys will make you a superstar. And, you know, that's why he was so great with the media. He was the first superstar that did that. Never happened before.
That's the late Hall of Fame boxing trainer Angelo Dundee. With more on the rumble in the jungle, here is Ted Lanfair.
In 1974, fans in Zaire had followed his every move surrounding what came to be called the Rumble in the Jungle with George Foreman.
Even today, I meet people and they bring up the Ali fight, and they still think the fight is going on. They need to be on my side or Ali. They don't know the fight. It doesn't exist anymore, but you learn great lessons from those defeats. You learn that it's just a day in your life. It shouldn't be taken over. It shouldn't consume you. And it's just a moment. And enjoy every moment.
Boumaye, the crowd shouted. Kill him, Ali. Brutal words for perhaps the world's most famous pacifist. Muhammad Ali won 56 of 61 professional fights. In his last two bouts in 1980 and 1981, he was already showing the debilitating effects of Parkinson's disease, the brain disorder that affects muscle control.
Thanks, Ted. That's Ted Lanfair. The year after the epic Ali-Foreman fight in 1975, American soul singer Don Covey released his tribute song titled, you guessed it, Rumble in the Jungle.
Heavy as corn. beautiful, yeah. Fighting machine, yeah. First you live with a lick, and then you do a right. And a foot full joy, asleep for the night. If you see Ali in the jungle, fighting the grizzly bear, you better help that grizzly to make the fight fair.
And brags indeed of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The fistic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a running with cash. This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
That's the late, great Muhammad Ali, who 45 years ago today, on October 30th, 1974, defeated George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Major League Baseball's 115th World Series has come down to a winner-take-all seventh game later Wednesday night in Houston, Texas. The Washington Nationals beat the host Houston Astros Tuesday night 7-2 to even the championship series at three games each. The AP's Craig Heist reports from Houston, Texas.
Anthony Rendon hit one of three home runs on the night and drove in five to help back the pitching of Steven Strasburg as the Nationals beat the Astros 7-2. Rendon had a sac fly in the first, a two-run homer in the seventh, and a two-run double in the ninth. Adam Eaton and Juan Soto hit home runs for the Nats in the fifth. Strasburg went 8 1/3 innings, giving up two runs on five hits while striking out seven. He and the Nationals are now 4-0 this postseason in elimination games.
I think we've been groomed for elimination games because we've played quite a few of them, probably, you know, some regular season games there too that you consider elimination games.
Justin Verlander gave up three runs over five innings to take the loss. I'm Craig Heist.
Thanks, Craig. This has been a roller coaster of a World Series, and so far the home field advantage has been no advantage at all. The Nationals won the first two games in Houston, and then the Astros came here to Washington and won three in a row. The Nationals won again in Houston Tuesday night. And this Voice of America programming note, I'll be chatting with my VOA colleague Steve Miller about the World Series on our International Edition radio show coming up after the Sunny Side of Sports.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, Los Angeles Lakers big man Anthony Davis delivered in a big way in a 120-91 blowout victory over the visiting Memphis Grizzlies. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
Anthony Davis scored 40 in the Lakers' 120-91 win over the Grizzlies. Davis made 7 baskets and a franchise record 26 free throws to go along with 20 rebounds. Teammate LeBron James was impressed.
We know we have an AD. and the fans know what they have. Every time they announce his name, they know what we have. But it just solidified while we went on and got him. Tonight was one of those games. And, you know, he was, like I said, he was big time for us.
James finished with 23 points and was part of the 22-0 third quarter run that vaulted the Lakers into the lead. L.A. improved to a 3-1 record. Ja Morant had 16 points to top Memphis, who falls to 1-3. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. And two more NBA results Tuesday night. The Miami Heat clipped the wings of the visiting Atlanta Hawks 112-97. And the Dallas Mavericks scored a 109-106 road victory over the Denver Nuggets. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, the governing body for big-time collegiate sports here in the United States, is considering a dramatic move that could see athletes receiving payments. The AP's Ben Thomas reports.
The NCAA appears to be moving toward allowing college athletes to cash in on their fame. The NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously to clear the way for the amateur athletes to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness. The governing body for college athletics has long barred players from hiring agents and has steadfastly refused to allow players to be paid by their schools. But that's being challenged by states. A California law set to take effect in 2023 would prevent athletes from losing their scholarships or being kicked off their teams for signing endorsement deals. Now, Board Chair Michael Drake says the NCAA realizes it must embrace change to provide the best possible experience for college athletes. I'm Ben Thomas.
In African football news, Ghana's head coach Kwesi Appiah has called up 7 new players for next month's Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches against South Africa and Sao Tome and Principe. The Black Stars of Ghana will host Bafana Bafana of South Africa on November 14th in Accra. And then the Black Stars will travel to play the Falcons and True Parrots of Sao Tome and Principe on November 18th. Among the new Ghanaian players selected are two based in Spain, defender Mohamed Salisu and midfielder Idrissou Baba. Coach Appiah also recalled defender Harrison Offal, who is based here in the USA with Major League Soccer's Columbus Crew Club. The 33-year-old Offal was overlooked for this year's Nations Cup in Egypt, where the Black Stars lost in the knockout round of 16. As the squad was announced, the new executive of the Ghana Football Association, GFA, kicked off a new hashtag, Bring Back the Love campaign. The GFA says the campaign is aimed at, and I quote, igniting passion and galvanizing support for the Black Stars as they seek to redeem themselves after their disappointing AFCON 2019 campaign in Egypt. One of the key officials hoping to bring back the love is Kurt Okreku, a 48-year-old former sports journalist who was voted in as the new GFA president 5 days ago. Finally, European football's governing body, UEFA, has punished Bulgaria for the Nazi salutes and racist chanting of its fans during a Euro 2020 loss to England. Bulgaria will play their next competitive home match in an empty stadium and was fined $94,000. And that wraps up the October 30th Rumble in the Jungle edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Nadia Taha. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa Show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me every weekday evening for Africa News Tonight from the Voice of America. It's a thorough summary of the day's events, featuring interviews with the people making news in Africa. You'll hear every side of an issue. And of course, Sunny Young drops by with the sunny side of sports. Plus, we have special features on science, business, Africans abroad, and comments from listeners like you. So please join me every weekday for Africa News Tonight from the Voice of America.
You want to listen to the latest African music? Dance to the best African beat from across the African continent? Then you don't have a problem. Just tune in to the African beat on the Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays at exactly 0900 and 2000 Universal Time. African beat, the show that brings happiness into your homes, smiles on your faces. So join me, your host, David Vandy, Monday through Friday, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time on The Voice of America.
African beat is the best. It's number one. We love it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
What's going on, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi coming to you from the Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. Join us each week on Upfront as we discuss a range of topics. The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
Eliminate the mentality that girls cannot do what boys can do.
You basically need to go to school. There's just no way you're going to get all the skills that people want from you or they expect from you if you're not at school.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.